Let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we're going to read one of the great healing miracles in the ministry of our Lord Jesus. John chapter 4, and when you've got it, then go to verse 46. We're starting a new series over the next couple of weeks called Atmospheres. Everyone say the word, Atmospheres. John chapter 4, verse 46. So, Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain government official who was sick at Capernaum, verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. How many of you know that this man is in a crisis? Verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." How many of you know that this man has touched the heart of Jesus? Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man, in turn, we could say, what did he do? He believed. Come on, those who believe the word, say amen. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. Now, we got to just sit on that verse just for a moment, because we can't allow our emotions to drive us. We need to believe what the word says, remembering that the first temptation of the enemy was to get Adam and Eve to doubt what God had said. And his strategy still exists to this day. Doubt the word, because the enemy said, "Did God really say?" Amen. The official pleaded, "Lord, please come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed. All the believers of the word of God, shout amen. Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, crisis faith becomes confident faith. And that faith is now about to become confirmed faith. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." He asked them when the boy began to get better. And they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. Crisis faith became confident faith, which eventually became confirmed faith. Amen. Every day, you and I, we engage with different atmospheres. You engage in varying atmospheres by different meetings, work meetings that you might go to, business meetings that you're a part of. We encounter different atmospheres in the homes that we may visit, friends that we engage with. You can go to a certain cafe, and one cafe has a welcoming atmosphere, a friendly atmosphere. Hey, I'm glad you came atmosphere. You can go to another cafe, and there is sound coming through these speakers here. Someone, please. Someone was just singing all of a sudden. Wasn't me, that's for sure. And that atmosphere in the next cafe can be, "I'm really upset that you ordered a coffee today. Who knows what I'm talking about?" I've been to cafes where you're made to feel like the best thing since sliced bread. Other cafes, "You're a bother that you came today to my cafe." There are different atmospheres in churches. Some atmospheres in churches are alive. They're energetic. They're full of faith. They're full of hope. Other atmospheres you can go into where there is condemnation. There is a sense of, I've got to plead down on my knees and scrape all the skin off my knees for God to be happy with me. And we kind of encounter all kinds of different atmospheres every day of our lives. Positive atmospheres, stressful atmospheres, peaceful atmospheres, joyful atmospheres, negative atmospheres, faith-filled atmospheres, winning atmospheres. Towns and villages and cities, and in fact we could say nations, carry certain atmospheres. People carry atmospheres. We all know Sandpaper Susie, and we all know Porcupine Peter. We encounter those people sometimes in our workplaces on a daily basis. They're the people that when you're jumping off the train, they want to barge you over to get on the train. We encounter all kinds of different atmospheres in the people that we connect with on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis. Generally, we are in two atmospheres all at the same time. There is, of course, a natural atmosphere. Right now, our five senses are engaged in a natural atmosphere. And they are, of course, sight, touch, taste, hearing, and smell. But at the same time, there is a spiritual atmosphere. And what is true in the natural is also true in the realm of the spirit. Those spirit senses of sight, touch, taste, smell, and hearing, they are alive in the realm of the spirit. These atmospheres that we engage in on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis are so powerful that atmospheres can affect a person's mood. An atmosphere can affect a person's thought patterns. An atmosphere can affect a person's belief. An atmosphere can be so powerful that it can affect our emotions. Amen? Atmospheres are so powerful that companies spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get their atmosphere right. When you walk into David Jones or the Apple Store, trust me, what you are seeing, what you are hearing, what you are engaging with has been carefully engineered. They know that if the atmosphere is right, then they can expect that the person engaging with that atmosphere will have such a terrific experience that, of course, the goal is to sell. When you walk into the Apple Store, no one all of a sudden decided, that'll do over there, and let's just chuck the MacBooks over there, and the iPhones can kind of go over there. The first thing that happens when you walk into an Apple Store, all the products are there in front of you, ready for you to touch, because retailers know that there is a power in touching things. And if I touch it, the more I engage with it emotionally, and in certain stores, the music is loud, the music is happy, the music is calming. It has been intentionally done because the retailer knows, I don't want you to think about things. What I actually want you to do is feel things. Because the more you feel it, the more you engage with it. When you watch a car ad, you know, the latest Ford or the latest Holden, they're not selling you the color of the car or necessarily the engine that's in there unless you're a real car kind of person. They're showing a person driving through the hills in serenity. In other words, they're trying to get you to engage your feelings so you don't have to think about things. You don't have to think about the cost. You don't have to think about the interest rate. You don't have to think about what this will do to your budget. We want you to feel it. Because retailers and marketing experts know that atmospheres are so powerful, so engaging, that they can move a person's heart in a particular direction. A couple of years ago, there was a new aircraft that was introduced by Boeing, and that was the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. When you are in a commercial aircraft, the cabin pressure is between 6,000 and 6,500 feet, even though you're at 35 to 40,000 feet generally in the air. The idea of the cabin pressure is, of course, to make sure that you and I survive the trip. The problem with that cabin pressure is that they've discovered that, particularly on long-haul flights, that it can cause, in a lot of people, headaches, fatigue, muscle aches and pains because your body was not designed for a sustained period of time to be at that level of altitude. So the idea of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner is there to lower the cabin pressure by 2,000 feet, and it was proven that in every single person that engaged at that particular atmospheric condition, not one of them got a headache, had muscle cramps. And over a sustained period of time, part of the reason why you feel fatigued is because you're in this cabin pressure that your body's not designed to. And these people felt much more or more fresh than someone who was traveling at a higher altitude. What they did also in the Dreamliner is they changed the lighting. The lighting in a 787 Dreamliner, if you've ever had the opportunity to be on one, it's all blue. It's cool. It's not your standard Qantas kind of lighting where everything's just kind of white. It's all this beautiful blue lighting right throughout the cabin because what they are trying to sell people is an atmosphere so that you have such a terrific experience, you're going to say, I need to do this again at some point. Amen? Atmospheres are so powerful that somebody else's atmosphere can affect your atmosphere. Remember, the first job that I ever had was with a company called National Oil Well. National Oil Well was a mining company in Perth, and I used to walk from my house for 20 minutes to get to the bus stop, jump on the bus, and catch the bus all the way to Fremantle in Perth, West Australia. And so I'd get up early in the morning. It's my first job. My dad was full on about being there early. Don't be a late person. Be an ultra early person. And so he drilled that into me. And so I used to get up, and my 20-minute walk was filled with prayer. It was filled with asking God to anoint me, to bless my day, to fill the day with the Holy Spirit. By the time I got to the bus stop to catch my bus, man, I was just feeling good in the presence of God. What you notice is when you're on the same route, and that is that it's generally the same bus driver. And so I would jump on, and kind of after a couple of weeks, you realize we're kind of starting to get to know each other here. And I'd ask him, I'd say, how's your day? And he would say to me, just another day. And I'd be like, oh, okay, yep, that's cool. But I'm full of God. I'm excited. It's not just another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I'd ask him again the next day, how's your day going? He would say to me, just another day. And I found the more I asked that question, the more his atmosphere began to affect my atmosphere. And over a period of time, this negativity that was projected on me eventually started to get into my spirit and into my heart. And I found myself saying, just another day. Well, guess what happened? The more you say, just another day, you eventually have just another day. And after a few weeks of slipping into this sense of this atmosphere of discouragement, this atmosphere of, here we go, just the mundane routine of life, just doing what I need to do because that's what you do in life, it started to affect my heart. It started to affect my expectation because my words became my wardrobe. And I was putting on myself an atmosphere of just another day, not realizing that every day the Bible says that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And God, the Lord, our good shepherd, wants to bless our days. He wants to strengthen our days. He wants to encourage our days. He wants to fill our days with hope and life and joy and peace. And I had to make a decision that just another day, that's your atmosphere, but it's not going to be my atmosphere. And I had to intentionally declare, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. And in fact, I'm going to actually tell this day what kind of day it should be, right? Amen? Because I have authority in the name of Jesus to speak into my day and say, day, you will be blessed. Day, you will see the purposes of God fulfilled. This day has been set apart unto me by my Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen me, to advance me, and to encourage me. And I said to myself, atmosphere, this is the atmosphere we are going to walk and live in. Can you say amen? I started to realize something at a young age, and that is that atmospheres, number one, carry inventory. Atmospheres carry inventory. Every atmosphere that you engage in carries an inventory. It carries product. It carries things that come along with that atmosphere. This miracle that we read about in the New Testament this morning is one of several miracles that Jesus performed at a distance. In the atmosphere of the home of this government official was, we could say, an atmosphere of fear. There was an atmosphere of hopelessness. There was an atmosphere of, we don't know what to do. We don't have the answer. But in the atmosphere of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is always hope. There is always life. There is always purpose. There is always direction. There is always, he has a plan. He has a solution. He has a breakthrough. And the atmosphere of our Lord Jesus Christ comes with that inventory. It comes with that inventory that all things are possible. How many of you know that when you spend time with God and you've been in His presence, you just feel good? Who knows what I'm talking about? I'm one of these people that if I'm not in the presence of God, oh man, I just, the flesh, everything becomes annoying. Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay, thank you, Alyssa. You and I, we're the only two non-spiritual people here at Shire Live today. But there's something about being in the presence of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Amen? The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And I want to be in His atmosphere. Because when I'm in His atmosphere, righteousness, joy, peace, all belongs to me because every single atmosphere carries an inventory. Number two, atmospheres have the power to transmit or they can restrict. Atmospheres transmit and they can restrict. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to go to what would be called a revival. It was a church in America that had a phenomenal outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And literally tens of thousands of people from all over the world were coming to this particular location to experience this incredible revival that was taking place. I was a youth pastor at the time. I think I was about 24. And David Storer was my senior pastor at the time. And he said to me, he goes, Brad, we need to get over there to see what God's doing. And we need to catch what the Spirit of God's doing. Well, when you're in Perth, one of the challenges of flying from Perth is it's like a 5-hour flight before you then have to do the international flight. And then when you land in LA, it takes you like 17 hours to get through customs to then catch the next flight to where you need to go to then drive to your location. By the time we got to this location, which was in Florida, it was like going days without sleep. And I'm one of these people, unfortunately, when I'm on an aeroplane, I find it impossible to sleep. Come on, who's like me? There are other people, hands like this, and they're gone. Me, it's like pushing the buttons, looking around, open my iPhone, listen to a song, and I can just do that for 2 days straight. Well, by the time we get to this particular location, we check into our room. It was late at night. It would have been about 11 p.m., and I have gone probably 48 hours without sleeping. But I'm a youth pastor. I'm 23. All things are possible. Amen. Like going skateboarding the day before youth camp. Well, it's about 3 a.m. And I thought, it's one of those nights we're going to have a great sleep. We'll wake up, you know, because of the lack of sleep, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., have some breakfast, eventually go to the meeting that following night. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and my assistant youth pastor, his name is John Herbert. John Herbert's the pastor of the Planet Shakers Church in South Africa now. And I'm hearing this, and I wake up, I'm like, what is that noise? I'm so tired. And there in this room that we're sharing, myself, David Storer on the next bed, John Herbert's in some corner somewhere on his knees praying. And I'm like, John, what are you doing? And he goes, can you feel it? I'm like, the only thing I can feel is the doona and the pillow. And he goes, can you feel it? And I'm like, this man is crazy. David Storer sits up and he says, we got to pray. Well, we get up, we start praying. What I didn't realize, David Storer did the homework on this revival. To get into the meeting at 7 p.m. the following night, you actually had to be in the line at 6 a.m. or you've got no chance of getting into the meeting. So we pray for an hour or two. I tried my best. I struggled. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. I was like those disciples that fell asleep when Jesus was praying. Come on, can I have a good amen? We line up at 6 a.m. It's dark to get into the meeting at 7 p.m. And we did this day after day after day. And in that atmosphere, when you were there is something about being in an atmosphere of an open heaven. There is something when you're in this atmosphere of revival. There is a sense of ease. You just lift your hands and the anointing just all over you. And in this atmosphere, as soon as the doors open, David's story is like, Brad, we're going second row. Let's just run. And literally that's what people do. They just run. Because if you don't, the place gets so chockers. There are thousands of people outside of this 2,000-seater auditorium. But in this atmosphere, the sense of revival, the sense of the tangible, the word tangible means you can feel, you can touch. This great sense of the power and the presence of God. Atmospheres have the ability to transmit. Not only can atmospheres transmit, they can also restrict. I'm very careful with the people that I allow into my circle. In my circle, in the sense of people that my heart is open to. If you allow the wrong people into your atmosphere, that atmosphere can restrict what's going on in your heart. Jesus himself realized this and he protected his atmosphere. He protected his atmosphere when Lazarus was dead and they came to Jesus and they said, oh, Lazarus is dead. Don't bother. It's all over. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, Lazarus is not dead. He's just sleeping. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to allow that atmosphere to affect this atmosphere because in this atmosphere, he's just having a good sleep. And I'm going to go, hey, Lazarus, time to get up, man. Oh, yeah, okay. He's protecting his atmosphere because the wrong atmosphere will restrict. The wrong atmosphere will restrict revelation. The wrong atmosphere will restrict the flow of the purposes of God. The wrong atmosphere will choke the very life of God if you're not careful. Proverbs says, he who walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will perish. Amen. Church, we need to protect our atmospheres because the atmosphere that we engage in will either transmit and unlock the anointing or it can actually restrict the purposes of God. Who are you associating with? What are you associating with? Are you associating with television programs and things that continually feed negativity, that continually feed fear, that continually feed a sense of doubt? And if you connect with that atmosphere, it may not happen right at the start, but eventually that atmosphere will become your atmosphere. Mums and dads, can I please remind you, you are responsible for what television programs are released into your home. You are responsible for the music that is played in your car with your children. If you listen to most of those words that go on in most of the songs that our young people are bombarded with, it is anti the word of God. And that atmosphere, the longer we dwell in it, it becomes normal. Amen? Mums and dads, we're responsible to make sure that the atmosphere of our homes, one of revelation, one of life, one of joy, we don't always get it right. We're not always that brilliant. And so I'm not trying to project any condemnation when we make mistakes because I certainly do that myself. And in fact, I did that on Thursday morning in my home because my kids were just taking forever to get ready for school and I had lots to do. And so I got into organization Brad mode and I just started firing missiles. And Allison said to me, she goes, you're just creating too much intensity in our home. And I was like, but we got to get it sorted. No, you're doing it the wrong way. The kids are intense. You're intense. We're all intense. Amen? And so Allison, in the only way she can do it, calm the kids, calm Brad. I responded to the altar call in the kitchen. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, through Allison, I ask for your forgiveness. Because I brought an atmosphere into my home that was not conducive to growth in the life of my children. It was restricting them. It was forcing them. Amen? Amen. Number three. That's two. That's three. Atmospheres can be altered. The government official that we read about, his home was consumed with helplessness. But the good news today is that a word from our Lord Jesus Christ can bring breakthrough in those atmospheres. Jesus said, John chapter 4, verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. Now, watch this. The Bible is very strategic in telling us where Jesus was located. It starts off by telling us in John chapter 4, verse 46, it says, Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, but the government official, his son was sick at a place called Capernaum. The distance between Cana of Galilee and Capernaum was 50 kilometers. But what God is trying to show us is that through the spoken word, atmospheres can be altered. Atmospheres can be adjusted. Atmospheres can be moved. Atmospheres can be broken. Speaking it in advance into your workplace, when Sandpaper Susie keeps giving you a hard time, you stand up with the word of God, even though there is a distance, and you can speak and declare in the name of Jesus Christ, peace and blessing and life and joy and hope and breakthrough and the presence of God and the love of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Atmospheres can be altered. Jesus gives us an example. We don't change the atmosphere by going up to Sandpaper Susie and Peter Porcupine, having a go at him, telling him to pull his head in or else you're gonna give him a karate chop in the side of the neck. We grab the word of God and we do what Jesus did and we declare life. We declare presence. We declare the anointing. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to pull down strongholds. Amen? And we grab a revelation. We grab the situation and we overlay it with a revelation from the word of God. Number four. Atmospheres. Now, this is incorrect English, but I had to start with the word atmospheres because all the other points did. But you'll get it. Atmospheres prolong, become a climate. Or correct way would be prolonged atmospheres become a climate. But you're with me today. Amen? These prolonged atmospheres, watch this, eventually turn into a climate. What is a climate? A climate is this. If you and your family and my family, we are going to Tassie tomorrow, and I rock up at the airport with t-shirt, shorts, and thongs, how many of you know this man has no understanding of the climate of Tasmania right now? If your family and my family, we're going to Hawaii, nice and warm, and I rock up with a couple of snow jackets, my scarf, I've got thermals on, how many of you know he has no idea of the climate of Hawaii? A climate, is what is normal. A climate is what is expected. A climate is a stronghold. It's something that has been set in place generation after generation. Married couples that allow an atmosphere of arguing in your home on a day-to-day basis, we are in danger of that becoming a climate. A climate's what's normal. It's what you expect in this home. It's just what happens. If we allow an atmosphere of a negative mindset all of the time, that prolonged atmosphere will eventually become a climate. If we continue to look down upon ourselves, not understanding the finished work of the cross, never feeling good enough, prolonged atmospheres eventually become a climate. Church, there is a phrase in society today, and of course it's climate change. That is, simply put, that there is an increase, according to some scientists, of CO2 in the atmosphere, which is of course warming up the globe. The good news is that climates can be adjusted. Climates can be changed. If we've allowed things to come into our homes, into our cars, into our marriages, into our workplaces where it's just normal, we have the authority in the name of Jesus to, how do you change a climate? You introduce a new atmosphere. And that continued introduction of a new atmosphere eventually leads to climate change. And we keep introducing life. We keep introducing that persistent, unbroken, continual introduction of favor, of grace, of blessing. Come on, I'm speaking to someone today. Of peace and of joy in the Holy Spirit, and not having a home where we talk behind other people's backs and we talk about this one and that one and our kids pick up on it, and what one generation allows, the next generation enjoys. But say, this is an atmosphere of blessing. This is an atmosphere where we speak well of people. This is an atmosphere where the presence of God resides. And when something comes into that atmosphere that's different to what's normal, you and I, all of a sudden, this is unusual weather pattern right now. This does not normally happen in our climate because we've taken an atmosphere. We've released it into our families. We've released it into our marriages. We've released it into our businesses. We've released it in the words that we speak. And eventually, a persistent, continual, unbroken introduction of an atmosphere eventually turns into a climate. Now watch this. You hold on to a climate long enough, what's normal, it eventually becomes a stronghold. You can go to Darwin right now and try and change the climate of Darwin. Right now, it's 21, 22, 23 overnight, low 30s during the day. Hey man, let's all go to Darwin. Because it's a stronghold. It's the climate. It's what's normal. And we can get buckets of water, throw it up in the air, say, we want rain, we want rain. We got no chance because there's a climate that had become the norm. It's the stronghold. In our homes, we have the authority in God to establish atmospheres, which eventually turn into climates, which eventually become strongholds. And we introduce atmospheres of the presence of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God. We talk about the goodness of God. And that atmosphere becomes the climate. It's just what happens here. Amen. We're going to introduce into our church and into our homes and lives some atmospheres. Who's excited about that? Yeah, yeah. Give Jesus a hand of praise. Come on. In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to have a season of prayer and fasting. Because the season of prayer and fasting is to break down atmospheres that are not the nice ones. They're the ones we don't want, Jesus. But you change a climate by introducing a new atmosphere. So on the screen, please, you'll see that we have got a season of prayer and fasting coming up on the 8th to the 21st of August. All the organized people, write it down right now, okay? 8th to the 21st of August. That's 2 weeks where, as a church, we are going to pray and fast. Some people, they're kind of hardcore. They're not going to eat for 2 weeks. Others will do a partial fast. Others will do a Daniel fast, depending on work and health and a whole bunch of things. And so we need to exercise wisdom, and we'll talk about that as the weeks go on. But the whole idea behind it is to introduce new atmospheres for climate change. Amen? New atmospheres. And we're saying, God, we want the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. We want the atmosphere of life. We want the atmosphere where blessing and joy and life is released. And we do that, in this case, through prayer and fasting. Amen? Prayer and fasting. So we'll talk more about it as the weeks go on, but I just wanted to give you the heads up in advance so that corporately, as a unified body, we can engage with this, we can lock into it, we can pray together, we can encourage each other, we can help each other as we release a new atmosphere in the name of Jesus. One of the things that we're going to be doing during that season, 2 weeks of prayer and fasting, is nights of prayer. Okay, so let's have that up. So there'll be more to come, but I'm just working out a few things. But we're going to open up our auditorium. I was going to do early morning prayer meetings, but sometimes people need like 7 coffees before they wake up. So I thought, let's go nighttime prayer meetings. So we're going to do nights of prayer where we open up the auditorium. It's not going to be structured prayer where we say, now let's pray for this. 5 minutes later, now let's pray for this. We're just going to come into the atmosphere and we're going to soak in the anointing. And we're just going to soak in His presence. And worship's just going to be lifted up to the Lord. And we're going to soak. You remember the good old soaker services? Oh, there's a few around. Just soak in the anointing of God. And we create a new atmosphere that eventually becomes climate change. Amen? So on these 3 nights, and there'll be more things. I've just got to figure out a few things. But it's coming in the name of Jesus. But they're the 2 things that I can tell you about that we, as a body of believers, are going to engage in this persistent, unbroken, continual seeking of the face of God. Amen. 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 Come on, let's put our stuff away. Stacey, the team, why don't you guys come up? We're just going to spend just a couple of minutes, just a minute or two, just worshiping and saying, God, this is the atmosphere. We want this atmosphere of life, the atmosphere of hope, the atmosphere of our eyes are upon Jesus, upon Jesus. Come on, let's all stand up on our feet if we can, please, church. And let's just begin to worship. Come on, begin to worship just right where you are. You don't need our singers to lead us. You just begin to vocalize your worship, vocalize your praise. See, there you go. That's the atmosphere. That's the atmosphere. The atmosphere. the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere of the anointing. Come on, begin to worship Him. We worship You, Jesus. We worship the name of Jesus. We worship, we worship, we worship, we worship You, God. We worship You, we worship.